Micah, do you want a mint?
My mouth is really dry and I am salivating. A mint would be good, actually. Yeah.
They're curiously strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I could really use a mint. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I love this cold open so much. I love the idea that Jim is putting the Pavlov's dog experimentation on Dwight, and it works, and it's beautiful. It's wonderfully done.
Especially because of the way that Dwight makes fun of Jim for the way that he asks him if he wants a mint. Mint, Dwight?
Mint, Dwight?
But he still takes it. You know what I mean? Like he's annoyed, but Jim has him at this point. And so there's no sort of escaping it. It's very good.
And every little clip is different and they are all wearing different clothing. Like even the characters in the background, I made sure I rewound it and paid attention and they are all dressed differently. So I wonder how they shot this, if they did every little shot and kept making them change, or they filmed this over the course of the beginnings of multiple episodes and then put it all together in editing.
Oh man, I need a making of for this. Yeah, for this cold open, because that's interesting. I wonder what,
because
is it
like the long con of production, or did they just do it all in one day? I don't know. I was even trying to pay attention to the blemishes on their faces if they moved or anything like that. I got real deep.
That's what she said.
Good one.
I'm just imagining you, you're like magnifying glass up next to the,
it's like pause, enhance.
Yeah,
enhance.
Zoom and enhance. Okay, rewind it back 2 frames. So I wonder if this works on us though. You know, maybe every time I've watched this episode, it's sort of Pavloving us as well.
Yeah, I always get that when I watch people eat Chinese food in movies or TV shows, and I'm just like, oh gosh, I could really go for a box of noodles right now. So much. I want it so much.
I love that.
It's one of my great fantasies to just accidentally be eating Chinese food out of the boxes while watching someone else on TV eating Chinese food out of the box and have that craving satisfied instantly and be like, yeah, this is happening.
That's a good goal. You know, that's they say like you should have some goals that
you gotta
sort
have
of
goals
out of reach so that you sort of are always driven to them, and then some goals that are within reach.
Yep. Yeah, it all keeps us living, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're good to have.
Should we get into this wedding? We kind of, the episode basically jumps right in. Like the very first scene, we have Phyllis, we see her bridesmaids, they're taking the pictures, and Michael's trying to weed his way in.
Yeah, this is all about getting Michael to feel like he's part of the process so that Phyllis can get extra time off. And it's beautiful the way that Phyllis is like so proud of the fact that she totally pulled it off. She manipulated him.
Oh yeah, she's a total genius for this. She's getting her 6 weeks of vacation, which nobody else has gotten, right? Is it 6 weeks? I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And we have Michael in very rare form in this episode. I found this episode kind of painful. Oof. Because it really is peak Michael, and I wonder if Phyllis regrets this decision kind of by the end. Maybe like as she's walking away to her honeymoon, she's like, oh, they just got through it.
Made it.
But I'm pretty sure in the middle there, when things are really at their roughest, she might be having a hard regret situation, like a big buyer's remorse for putting Michael so deep into her wedding that he keeps trying to find ways to make himself more and more important.
Well, and I wonder too, you try to think about how these couples interact and how much Bob Vance Vance Refrigeration is just going, okay, Phyllis, but you know, if you have him in the wedding, he's going to do something bad. And you sort of like an I told you so kind of thing, you wonder. And just sort of whenever he ends up having to give Michael a little talking to, which we'll talk about, you know, if he's going, ugh, I knew that this was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. Why did you have to put him in your wedding? Because the whole idea is to make Michael feel like he's the most important part of the wedding, essentially, without actually making him the most important part of the wedding. And he sort of takes it and runs with it, right?
I think Michael does a good job on his own making himself the most important part of the wedding. Like, it was almost like Phyllis gave him that little in of, okay, you can push my father's wheelchair down the aisle and you can feel important. But Michael takes it even further. And I think it's even, it catches everyone off guard quite how far he goes. They kind of all knew that he would be really into being into the wedding, right?
Yeah.
But he takes it so much further because, as we find out in a little confessional with Michael, he has only been to one other wedding before. And it was a pretty traumatic wedding for him. And because we get some video footage of him as a child, and it is the wedding of his mom marrying his stepfather. And it is just like the Fundle Bundle episode, where we get this really upsetting look into Michael's past and just how difficult, like emotionally difficult, his childhood seemed to be. And he has this like a wetting his pants situation, trauma going down the aisle. And then Jeff's dog is the ring bearer. And as a child, he like throws the ring bearer pillow and he says, "I hate you." And like all this stuff happens. And it explains why Michael, the way he is today. This is the producers and the writers bringing that around, like making the Michael character so much more sympathetic, and we can empathize mm-hmm. with this child that we see going through this really hard situation. And unlike in the British Office, where David Brent, he is not a redeemable character. Like, he is just awful all the time, and we never see any glimpse of his past. Here we're getting this great depth to Michael, and we're seeing why he is the way he is. And even later on, when everything starts crashing down around him during Phyllis's wedding, and he's getting taken out by Bob, right? They're like escorting him out. What does he yell? He yells, "I hate you," just like he did in the video as a kid. And it's just, it brings it all around. Oh, and also, it looks like the same actor, the kid actor who is young Michael in Fundle Bundle, mm-hmm. is the same young Michael in this old wedding footage.
Oh, so, well, there you go. That's,
it looks, although, or they got a very good lookalike. So
I like whenever they keep that consistent across mm-hmm. the thing, which we see with other kids in the show. I just would really like to know Michael's secret for only ever having gone to one other wedding in his life. Like, how do you pull that off? I want to know that trick to where I don't have to go to a bunch of weddings.
He doesn't have any friends, Michael. There's no friends.
I know. It's sad. It's sad. But yeah, that's pretty incredible that his one other wedding in life is his mom's second wedding.
Do you not like going to weddings? I love going to weddings.
I do not like going to weddings. Well, I shouldn't say that. Once I'm there, it's always a good time and everything's great. It's just like, I've been to too many destination weddings and...
Oh, wow. I've been okay, to too see, many that destination weddings. See,
okay.
Check your privilege, man.
As a young millennial who was part of the whole, like, you only have so much money kind of thing, destination weddings are not the greatest because you end up having to spend a lot of money to go for, you know, this little thing.
And be destined.
Yeah, be destined. And then, you know, you gotta get presents and do all, it's complicated. Anyway.
Yeah, it is, yes.
So he tries to be very important to Phyllis.
He overtries.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just cringy. It's cringy, Michael.
It's a big day for Phyllis, but it's an even bigger day for me, employer of the bride.
There's a lot going on in the getting ready part of the show, which reveals a lot of fun stuff. I really like, so in the vein of Michael injecting himself where he shouldn't be, he kind of enters where Phyllis is getting ready, and he has a little sit down with her. He's trying to have like a heart to heart, like he's super important. And it comes to this conversation of, did you break wind? And I think that this is so funny because she's like, no, and it obviously wasn't Michael. And I think that this is another one of those little times where we get the presence of the film crew camera people, because it looks like no one else is in the room and he's mentioning about someone breaking wind, and it could be the person either holding like the boom mic or the camera or something, because there are other people in the room that we don't see. And it's like Michael just can't let this go. And it's kind of like a breaking of the fourth wall.
Right.
But with the discussion of odor. And I never thought of it that way before, but when it occurred to me, I'm like, yes, that's the joke. The joke is it's neither of them, but it's someone in the room, and Michael just can't let it go. And he embarrasses Phyllis in the process, along with a whole bunch of other things. But it's really funny.
I don't know if you've seen any of the bloopers, but that scene is actually one of, I think, the most hilarious scenes, because the word pungent, he cannot get that word out without both of them just bursting into laughter.
And I've got to watch that.
Oh, then. You do. It's so funny. It's like, I think they do it 6 or 7 times trying to get through that scene and like play that straight. And it's so hard.
That's what she said. Ah! two in one episode.
Yes. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. We get some nice foreshadowing, in the beginning also with the Schrute wedding traditions, and I don't want to give too much away, so we won't say exactly, but we'll just ask our listeners to take note. And for those of us who've watched the entire series, know that this is kind of the first mention of the Schrute wedding traditions.
The Schrutes have their own traditions. We usually marry standing in our own graves. It makes the funerals very romantic, but the weddings are a bleak affair.
And I really like that they have taken that and it continues on as truth lore in this world.
And I wonder too, because this isn't something that I've, you know, seen any of the behind the scenes or bloopy type stuff, but I wonder how much of what ends up being Schrute family traditions are the improvisations of Rainn Wilson that ended up making it into the episode, and then they take note and run with that and go down the line with that. Because I think that, I mean, it's incredible in any sense, because the whole Schrute family lore is just good in general and funny. But I would love it if, you know, some of these details, especially during, because a lot of the times those talking head interviews, what are they called for reality TV
confessionals.
Shows. Yeah, confessionals. Thank you. A lot of those were, we give the actor a sort of an outline, yeah, or a prompt, and then let them go from there. And a lot of the lore that comes from Dwight does happen in those moments. And so, cool. I want to believe that a lot of that is just like, oh boy, Rainn Wilson has come up with another thing. Somebody write that down in the book of the tome of lore. Oh, that's so good.
Of course, what would an Office episode be without a wonderful prank? And Jim convinces Dwight that they are possibly surrounded by wedding crashers.
Who are these people? You know what? I bet a lot of them are wedding crashers.
No way.
Did you ever see that movie?
Of course I saw it.
You know, I wish I had the investigative powers to actually smoke some of these guys out, you know?
Once again, Jim, I will take care of this. I will locate the wedding crashers and report them to Phyllis. That way I won't have to get her a gift.
And that carries out throughout the rest of the episode. And we also see a nice little moment with Creed, him swapping cards on a gift.
Oh my God.
To make it look like he gave a gift. And of course, he picks the biggest one.
Yeah.
To take the card off of, throw it away, and put his own card on.
It makes me wonder if anyone's ever taken like tips from him. Has anyone ever been inspired? Like, oh man, I forgot to get somebody a gift and I'm a not great person, so I'm just going to swap out that card.
It's kind of genius, right?
It is. I mean, it's smart and it's devilish. And, you know, weddings are very complicated affairs. And so if you don't ever get a thank you card after a wedding for some gift that you gave, you sort of forgive the couple, because there could be a situation where that just didn't work out. And so it's not as if there's going to be like a bunch of follow up, unless you accidentally take like mom of the bride or mom of the groom's gift, and then there's an issue. But other than that, it's like, it's pretty smart.
I think that's why people love Creed so much, because he's so weird.
Agreed.
So this wedding, Micah, this wedding looks a lot like something.
Yeah, haven't I seen a lot of this before? Like, those flowers, I'm pretty sure, look familiar.
Phyllis ended up using the exact same invitations as Roy and me. So it was kind of like being invited to my own wedding. And I was like, wait, thought I called that off.
She keeps mentioning to the camera all the little details that she's finding. She's like, those are my flowers. That's my dress. This is like my band. Like, it was everything. all down to the even the invitations and the same lettering, P and R.
P and R?
Phyllis and Robert.
Of course.
Also Pam and Roy.
Oh, because it's so perfect, because the only place that if there is a person who goes by Bob and everyone calls them Bob, that's how all their friends know them, their business it's based on, the only place you would ever use your formal full name is a wedding invitation like that. Like, you would totally do that. And mm-hmm. I've seen a couple people on some fan sites and stuff being like, where is this name coming from? It's never Robert. Da, 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 da. It's like, yeah, but yeah, on a formal wedding invitation, yeah, exactly, you would use your full name. Like, you know, you wouldn't say Abby, you would say Abigail, right? Like, yeah. It's like a whole thing. And so that's why it's so funny, because no one, even the characters, have that little bit of joke with Karen and Jim, like, who's R? Like, that's so weird. Because if you know someone so strongly by this other kind of nickname or shortened version of their name, thinking about what their formal name would be feels really disjointed from the actual person. And I love that it's there.
Also, Pam and Roy. Like, the way that Pam says it is fantastic. She's so mad.
We're starting to see a little bit of her spunk come out.
Yeah, like, no
she's
more
getting
Pammy.
A little shouty. I like when Pam gets shouty. Toby shows up with a hot date. I have a couple little points about the ceremony here. Kelly is wearing white because
oh
there was
God,
an emergency.
Kelly, come on.
I thought you're not supposed to wear white to a wedding.
I know, but there was an emergency. I look really good in white.
I love that she's also a very attention-seeking character, but we don't see her that often.
Yeah.
I like that about her. I like that she is kind of like this really dramatic person, and yet it comes out in these weird little subtle ways. You know, she's not acting ridiculous in front of everybody, but she's doing these kind of undermining moments to try and get herself to have more attention on her.
Yeah, almost like a, hey, don't forget about me. I'm over here doing funny things too.
Let's talk about the ceremony with Michael's big moment. His big baby tantrum in the middle of the ceremony.
So he feels that it's him walking Phyllis down the aisle. He's not walking Phyllis down the aisle. He is walking Phyllis's dad down the aisle because Phyllis's dad is in a wheelchair. And so he's going to push the wheelchair up to the front and then step back is the idea. Well, in a very, 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 very awesome, very, what would otherwise be like a moment where everybody in the audience is just like bawling because it's so sweet, Phyllis's dad is able to, for a short period of time, stand and walk his daughter the rest of the way to the aisle. And it's very sweet. Well, Michael feels like he's being upstaged. And
he tries to hold him down.
Yes, it's so bad.
Oh my God.
That's so cringy. He's holding him down because he sees that he's about to stand up and completely take away the spotlight from Michael.
And make his job obsolete, right? Because if he gets up and walks, then Michael's job is over already. Halfway down, he only gets halfway down the aisle and it's over.
It's so, so cringy, so upsetting, so ugh. But he sort of throws a fit, and the way that he pulls away the wheelchair is so bad. Just like clunk, 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 clunk.
Oh, it just makes an awkward situation even worse. It's just like a child, you know, having a little fit and being like, oh, now everyone look at me. I'm going to make all this ruckus. And that's exactly what he does with the wheelchair. And it's terrible. Like I said, this is the worst of Michael. This episode is hard because we see the worst side of Michael. And it goes from one disaster to another throughout the entire ceremony. Michael tries to make announcements before anybody else. I do love that the priest makes certain to say Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration, which if we're going along the fan theory of Bob being kind of the best salesman ever, knowing that there would be a camera crew at his wedding, he probably wrote that in to be like, make sure you say this. Like, so no matter what, his company gets kind of plugged in this episode, even if, you know, the film crew miss someone saying something at one time, it's at least going to get there in the ceremony, right?
Like, it's clear that even still, being the businessman that he is, he's going to want to make a return on his investment, so to speak. So he's going to try to make money off of that.
But the disasters continue, and we have a disastrous receiving line. It's almost like it's every single wedding nightmare come to life.
Yes, yes. A bad speech. Yeah, I agree.
And it's like Angela saying snide remarks about the color of the dress burning her eyes. It's people complaining about the food. It's everyone saying like, oh, this is a problem for me, bringing up personal problems to the bride, slightly insulting the bride. Like, everything is just, it's all culminating.
Damn it, Phyllis.
We do get a nice moment with Kelly being sympathetic to Pam, because Pam has been realizing all of the nuances and things that are exactly her wedding. And it was nice to see Kelly notice that and have that empathy towards Pam, even though she follows it up with kind of the worst advice ever.
If I was you, I would just like freak out and get really drunk and then tell someone I was pregnant.
Okay. That's a lot of good ideas. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. It's very sweet that she's trying to be helpful with Pam and trying to understand what she's going through. But she's basically telling her, oh, yeah, you should freak out, because I totally would freak out in this situation. And she would throw a fit, and there would be a scene. And I think it's pretty funny that that's the advice that she gives.
Dwight ends up following everyone around. He spots his wedding crasher, and he takes out an old man with dementia who ends up being Uncle Al and kicks him out of the wedding.
Yeah, this was an interesting sort of CD plot, because it's kind of sad. And you just, I feel for Uncle Al, and like the part where he's standing by the street and they have cars honking and stuff. It's like, oh, this is about to turn into one of those horrible things where somebody ends up getting hurt. And so it's kind of like, that this is one of the times where Jim's pranking could have ended poorly for someone, you know, like could have gotten someone hurt. And you're like, oh boy,
it has more consequences than previously
perfectly
foreseen.
Put and you want to be like, hey Jim, you know, if you're gonna do these pranks with Dwight Schrute of all people, maybe you want to sort of keep an eye on old Dwight Schrute, because he'll spin things out of control.
This whole thing with Phyllis and seeing her at her wedding, we get the perspective of all of her coworkers and colleagues from the office, because they know her as Phyllis at the office. And then afterwards, it doesn't really seem like they know her very well. No one's hanging out with her after hours. They don't have a relationship outside of the work relationship. And I think we see that because we only get tiny glimpses of who Phyllis is. Everyone was surprised when she's engaged to Bob Vance, when she makes that announcement.
Yeah.
It's like she doesn't have this other life outside. But here at her wedding, we see all these other people that are part of her life. We see all her sisters and her family and how everyone interacts, and complimenting her on how great her bowling is. And she has this whole rich life full of activities and friends that we never see at work. We see her kind of just like quiet and to herself, just kind of doing her job. And we'll get a little glimpse of her quirks here and there, but not much. And it's almost like when you are a kid and you see your teacher outside of school, right? You don't think of them as existing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That's a perfect way to put it.
And right
it.
Now
yes.
We're seeing Phyllis, you know, our teacher, like kind of outside of school. And it's a little disorienting, right? Like, but it's kind of nice to see her as a rounded out person. And I think that everyone in the office is treating her like the teacher that we knew, like this person that we didn't think of as having this big full life outside the office. And that's why I think everyone's really weird and awkward. And I don't know, I think it brings a whole different vibe to seeing Phyllis's wedding when you think of it like that. We're seeing a lot more of Phyllis and who she is, but yet everyone is reacting to her as if she's only that office entity.
I really like this, because you bring up a good point about different office relationships in general. It was always very strange for me whenever I talked to other people who had office jobs, because their experience, which was different from mine. I worked for a company was a startup when I started working for it, and it really felt like a family. Like, I came out to the people that I worked with at that company before even my own family, because I was so close to these people. And it didn't make sense to me. And I finally had to like have this realization that most of the time it is people, when they go home from their job, they go home from their job and they're not still attached to those people that they work with. Whereas like we would be out on the weekends with each other, as opposed to like going to a bunch of different friends. We were all friends with each other. And I think that this is one of those situations too, where you do have office friends, but you don't necessarily have these friends outside of work. And if you do, it's not necessarily super close. But I think that the office folks, it's somewhere in the middle, because they do feel connected to each other. And there's a certain level of connection that I think doesn't happen at every office, because in some places you're not going to end up inviting most of your colleagues to your wedding. But here, you know, she did. And so, yeah, it's kind of middle ground here. And I found that interesting. So, yeah, it's kind of a, for me, a lesson in sort of the middle ground between office space job, where you're not really connected to anybody and you all work your own little cubicles and you go home and you get away from work. And then mine, which was like full on, oh, we all love each other, this is great, da 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 da. This is sort of in the middle. And yeah, I think that it's fun to learn that dynamic and also see how those relationships grow over time as the actors playing the characters also get closer.
Yeah. And I mean, we do see everyone having kind of like little separate lives. Like Kevin has his gambling and his band that he goes to. Angela has her cats. And I mean,
most of Oscar's life is segregated. Yeah.
Yeah. Oscar had his whole entire life was totally secret from everybody. So it is. It's like these little pockets and everyone does kind of come together. Speaking of Kevin's band, I like that it is implied that they get asked if this is their first wedding, because when they were booked with Roy and Pam, it would have been their first wedding. But Kevin corrects them and says, oh, no, it's our third.
No, this is not our first wedding. This is the third wedding that Scrantonicity has played. We also played our bassist wedding and our guitarist's wedding.
We have another giant terrible moment with Michael, which is during the toast, which we touched on earlier. But I love that we get another one of the Michael vocabulary flubs, in that he looks up the word welding instead of wedding.
God.
My name is Michael Scott. Webster's dictionary defines wedding as the fusing of two metals with a hot torch. Well, you know something? I think you guys are two metals, gold medals.
Oh, God. So Michael Scott, and I love it.
And then it follows that up with confusing the two words metal and metal, which are spelt differently, but sound the same. And so it's just like, oh, Michael. But that ends poorly for him.
And this is another thing about what you talked about, another sort of nightmare moment for weddings. Yep. Where the idea that you will get some very unfun best man speech, or just whatever, whoever's giving speeches at the wedding, and you're like, oh golly, please don't mess this up.
Yeah, please don't say anything completely inappropriate that you know about me. And then, oh, Michael does. Oh, to help to bring down the cringe a little bit, we have a wonderful, beautiful, my favorite little flirty moment with Jim and Pam. I love this, because so they're just talking about Pam's, you know, dorky dancing, and Jim takes a little liberties and steps out on the tiniest of limbs and calls Pam's dorky dancing very cute in kind of a very flirty way.
When are we going to get to see some of those famous measly dance moves?
I'm pacing myself.
Come on. Get out there. Give the people what they want.
Oh, I'm such a dorky dancer.
I know. And it's very cute.
And she picks up on it. I see the little coy smile, and oh, does this little moment delight me? You almost think that it's going to be going somewhere to only have your hopes dashed later on in the episode, but it's there, and I could hold on to it just for a little bit.
Yes. I don't have really much to say about this. It's a sweet moment, and
You're a hater. It's fine.
I'm not a hater.
We can move on.
No.
You can talk about Dwight getting excited to keep Michael out of the wedding. Talk about that.
It's
you can
not
move
that
on
I'm a hater. It's that I am already prepared for how it goes wrong. And it's hard. Like, I guess what this can be a conversation about instead is sort of as a rewatcher and understanding the dynamics of this relationship and knowing the ups and downs, where it's going to go. And even just like in this episode, knowing where this is going to go. It is a sweet moment, but all I can think about is sort of what happens next. And that kind of ruins it because, you're just, at least for me, like I'm prepared for that. It's hard for me to sort of, you know, they talk about suspending disbelief. In this, it's sort of suspending future knowledge or suspending what you already know. And that can be tough sometimes.
I can read romance books and watch, you know, romantic comedies and stuff over and over because I still feel the little like tingles. I love all this stuff. I love it.
I think I love that you do. You know what I mean? Like that's... And it's good for the sake of the conversations that we have because, you know, it's different sort of takes on things and also different ways that we experience these things. And I'm just like... Oh, that's cute, but so yes, we can talk about.
Well, we could talk about where it goes. I want to talk about where it goes real quick because right after that we see Jim dancing with Karen as he should since they are together and she is his date. We have Pam sitting at the table by herself, and she didn't come with anybody, and she's watching Jim dancing with Karen, and Jim looks up from his conversation with Karen as they were dancing, and they catch each other's eyes and they make this eye contact and Pam looks away and then she becomes overwhelmed and she gets up and she leaves and then Jim's face sinks and all of that moment, all of that happening with the wedding music playing. It's so much. And okay. So weddings make everyone in relationships, like everyone's relationship feelings kind of extra heightened, right? Mm-hmm, it just brings that out in everyone. And if your love life is going really well, you're like extra happy and you feel deeper in love with your partner and everything just feels all like, ooh, like hearts and rainbows and
like stop yourself from proposing right now because you really want to like, you're super
everything
into
just
it,
feels really good and sparkly and wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. If you are in a bad place in your love life, then those feelings of resentment and jealousy and depression and all of that gets really exacerbated and it can bring you down hard to the ground, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's what's kind of happening right now in these two characters. Jim is very confused about where things are going with Karen, how he feels about Pam. Mm-hmm. And he's trying out the little bit of flirting with Pam. You know, he's trying to bait her. She's there kind of by herself. And trying to like kind of gauge her reaction, right? Like that's why he was like, I think your dancing's kind of cute, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's not something a friend would say. And he knows it and she knows it. They know it. And but what happens is Roy makes a little bit more of a bolder move here. And he ends up approaching Pam. Like he gets their song playing.
Hey, playing our song, huh?
Yeah, that's weird. I thought they only played the police.
I know. I gave him $20. You want to dance?
Roy's making the bigger move, and Pam's more comfortable in accepting it because they've been together before. Also, Roy isn't with anybody else. You know, Jim is there with somebody. You know, like, how much could Pam really reciprocate if he's there with somebody?
Exactly.
And it's like, and then Jim tries to reconnect with Pam again. And then we see her walking off with Roy. And it's very hard seeing Jim watch Pam make the same mistakes. Like from his point of view, that's what's happening here.
Yes. She's falling back into the sit. Like it's what made her unhappy in so many ways. And so he's wondering, why are you doing this to yourself again?
Right. And that's why he says like, oh, I'm so happy I'm with Karen, because he's like, oh, there she goes again, making this stupid mistake, falling. Yep. And it's like, no, it's not that. She's coming from a place where she's feeling extremely raw, being surrounded by everything that would have been her wedding. Like everything that she's sitting amongst right now is like a manifestation of her lost happiness that could have been. And she's also watching Jim and Karen at the same time. Like, it's
it
all
is all of her yeah out. All of her mm-hmm. lost happiness being smacked in the face with it, essentially. So yeah, you're right, like, she has every right to sort of want to get some sort of return on what's going on right now, to not feel like absolute crud because it's all just sort of right there in her face.
Yeah, she's getting a little bit of comfort and kindness from Roy that I think she really actually does want from Jim. But Jim isn't in the position where he can freely give that. And so that's why we're in this situation.
And I think that she probably in the moment is thinking, not only can he not freely give that right now, but that's something that he's not ever going to be able to give because he's with somebody else. And we don't, it's as if she has to do what Jim did before, where he finally came to the realization that Pam was going to choose Roy over him. And right now I think she feels like, well, Jim's going to be choosing Karen over me.
I like that all this love tension gets kind of a little bit of comic relief when we see Michael jump up and down outside the window trying to look in because he's been bounced from the wedding thanks to Bob taking him out from that terrible speech he gave. And so I think that the show finds a nice balance in all these serious moments and then these funny little moments, just like we see Pam and Roy dancing outside and then it pans down and we see Angela and Dwight dancing, which is really nice. And then at the very bottom, we see Michael sitting alone outside. And it's funny and heartbreaking a little bit. And yeah, it all kind of comes to a conclusion in the show where Michael is outside and he ends up running into Uncle Al.
Phyllis, wait, please. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make this a day to remember.
You found Uncle Al.
Yeah, he's kind of a weirdo.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Phyllis gives him this wonderful praise and acceptance now that he's done a good thing, even though he's gotten kicked out of the wedding.
And so that sort of makes him feel better because mm-hmm. he feels that he's sort of back in it, because she gives him a kiss, even if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
And yeah. That was what he needed, because I think he did feel bad after. It wasn't just like he felt bad for himself. He started to feel bad that he hurt, you know, Phyllis yeah. on her wedding day. And this is nice that he feels redeemed, even though he didn't actually do anything.
But he takes the credit anyway. How about that getaway car, huh?
Vance.
Plug.
Always ABP. Always be plugging.
That's for real. So this episode, it's not a favorite of mine, but I do like how it moves the story along. It gets Phyllis married. It, I like that they don't glance over that, like, and Phyllis got married. They have like a nice dedicated episode for it. And we do get that great tension between Pam and Jim pointed throughout this. And I really like Karen singing. I think she looks so fun and happy, and it's great.
I love that scene, and it makes me want to do that song karaoke. Like, every time I see it, I'm going, oh, I need to do that song karaoke. That seems like so much fun.
Should we give out our Dundee this week?
We should. And Tiff, are you going to be giving out the Dundee this week?
I am, because I'm going to be awarding this very special Dundee this week. And it's another Nifty Gifty Award, but it's
Nifty Gifties.
It's so well earned. And it goes to both the Hurleys, Mike and Adina Hurley. That's I, Mike, and Adina on Twitter, for an amazing birthday gift that they sent me this past weekend. It was a copy of the Office Trivia board game, which is totally out of print. And it showed up at my door. And I'm just so excited to play it. And they are just... You guys, just a big thank you to my two favorite fellow Office fans. And I love you guys so much. And thank you for the great gift. And get on up here and accept your Dundee.
Accept it.
Congrats, Mike and Adina. And thank you, thank you, thank you. I really do love you guys.
Yay. So sweet.
Nepotism. No.
Someone will cry nepotism. We gave Jason Snell a Dundee, for goodness sake.
That's true.
That was the
same Dundee.
One.
All of our friends are only getting Nifty Gifty Dundies.
You only get Nifty Gifty Dundies, and only from now on if you give us gifts. So, no.
Whoa.
Tips like, I want no part of that. If you would like to stay in touch, please be sure to follow us on Twitter. That's @tall_beats. You can subscribe to become a member of the Incomparable. By doing so, you get fun goodies at the end of the year, or whenever it is that you subscribe, and you will get access to a members only bonus feed. So some shows will go straight from Skype to the bootleg feed so that you don't have to wait for the edited episode. Ours is just the edited episode, but trust me, you are going to be happy that that's the case. You can also join us in the conference room, which is a channel in the members only Slack. So by becoming a member, you get to hang out with us there and potentially learn about new things we're working on before they make it to the mainstream. If you have a second, go ahead, rate, review, subscribe, star, blast, down, up, left, right, whatever.
Woof,
thank you. Yes, excellent. The show on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, etc. That's how more people get to hear about the show. But also, we keep an eye out on those reviews and occasionally award Dundies there. Thank you again for listening. And we are excited to be back next week to talk about business school. Stopping.